The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 444. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
How about them video games?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brett Murdoch. You're muted, sir.
I'm here.
There you are. Good stuff.
So I lost the mute button for a minute.
Yeah, it happens. It just runs off sometimes, you know?
I'm in a weird version right now. I'm not seeing anybody. I think I just because I answered your call. I'm fixing this.
There oh, maybe go. That's why. Whoop, is that Adam? Is he messaging us right now? Yeah. Oh, no, it's just Carlos. Okay.
Having the problem of being like, I have multiple video games to play and choose from. I don't know what to do. It's fucking great.
Yeah, I got all these video games.
I got video games. Yeah, but, you know, Adam always has a bunch of stuff. But, yes, we are back.
Gotta play FIFA 15.
Gotta play something.
Play AEW.
Yeah. just a disclaimer before the top of the show. Yes, we understand that there has been more Microsoft FTC stuff. We're done with it. We don't want to talk about it anymore. So we're not going to talk about it tonight. You know why? Because we actually have plenty of other shit to talk about. How is that possible?
What right, is nothing this?
To talk about. Microsoft acquiring them. Cool. Done.
Yeah, well, now the drama is that they're extending the UK shit. What it's going to happen? It's going to happen.
Here's the thing about it. Yeah, like exactly. Like, does that change any of the words that I just said?
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It does, which technically means by definition it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Also, before we start, I'll plug it now. Plug it at the end of this show. This Saturday we will be premiering a new Throwdown show, people. Throwdown interviews. Manny and I actually interviewed our first guest, Mr. Jordan Miner, and we talked about his new book, Video Game of the Year, with the theme of it being game preservation. Really good conversation. I think you guys will really enjoy it and stuff. And we're gonna get a bunch of other like guests in the coming months and stuff. So it'll be good. You know, I've had this idea like for a while, for a bunch of years, actually. Manny and I have been discussing it, but I just didn't know the proper way of doing it, because like just doing a straight up interview show just seemed like kind of like not imaginative. But now, thanks to Jordan, you know, because the thing with this book is every game he talks about is about a certain theme. I'm like, oh, that's it. Every interview is going to have a theme, you know? So yep. I think that'll work out pretty well. So, yeah, look forward to that. Also, go make sure to buy Video Game of the Year. Not only are you supporting Jordan, you're supporting me because I'm in this book. This is the first time I'm in an actual physical book. Like, I'm no longer just an online writer. I'm in a real book. Like, an EMP could hit, but my name will be in here and it exists forever, you know? It'd be awesome.
Unless the EMP catches the books on all books, the books on fire.
I think it'll be a bigger problem if that happens. If there's just a cascading fireball fucking killing everybody, you know? Let's see.
I think that was in
Terminator 2?
Terminator.
Yeah. Terminator 2, yeah, it was Judgment Day.
Yeah.
There you go.
My name, baby. Let's go. You know, so yeah, go buy Video Game of the Year. So it is out now at your favorite bookstore. Yeah.
So, what's up? So how does it feel? Well, but you haven't been to a bookstore in a while. Would it be
I was at a bookstore last week for the premiere of this book.
Oh, okay. No, I was going to say like a random bookstore. But yeah, okay, so you saw it on a shelf. So there you go.
Yeah.
You had the full experience.
Yeah, it was on a shelf.
You published on physical media, and you get to see it on a shelf, and people buying it.
It's crazy, you know? Yeah, it was good stuff, man. I'm like, yeah, physical books, and it's a nice book, too. It's nice and heavy. Got some cool art in it, you know? What's up, Brett?
No, sorry, forgot to mute.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, go buy it, please. Again, you're also supporting me by buying this book, please, you know?
Buy my book.
I wonder how many people are going to get that reference, you know? By the way, real quick story and stuff. Hilarious. So I was talking, you know, this, like, I was talking to some work people on Slack and stuff, right? And one of them said, like, oh, man, you know, I kind of forget stuff in my old age. I'm like, man, how old are you? You know, like, you don't, you can't be older than, like, 38, you know? And he was like, yeah, that's a good guess, because he, you know, he looks younger, you know? And then I was like, yeah, you know, I hear that, man. I'm 43, and people think I'm younger than I am. And one of my friends who has known me for years, he's like, wait, what? You're 43? Like, I thought you liking old stuff was just a weird quirk of yours. I'm like, no, it's because I grew up with this stuff. You know, he thought it was a quirk of mine. You know, that was just like, like, unironically liking old shit. I'm like, no, I grew up with this stuff, man.
You're not a hipster.
Bro, you're so retro.
Yeah, exactly. No, but the funny thing is, there is also a person at my job who's like 35. He actually is into old stuff, like, legitimately, but he didn't grow up. We had to learn about After Effects. But I'm like, no, I was there watching Transformers and He-Man and Thundercats and all this shit as it happened. You know?
Yes.
I was there, man. Matter of fact, there's a little twist with mine, because Transformers, I first saw it in Spanish when I lived in the Dominican Republic, you know? And Voltron as well, which is kind of interesting. But I was there watching this shit in the 80s. I'm like, it's not a quirk. I just find that hilarious. But everybody at the office, they think I'm like 35 and shit. But I think it's because I don't act my age, whatever the fuck that even means, you know?
I mean, are you gonna go be like, oh yes, I read the New York Times my here. Pipe.
Well, I'm
my pipe.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is my reason, like, for it. One, I don't have kids, so I don't talk like a dad. And two, internet speak has seeped into me, so I speak like the young kids. Yeah, dude, for example, like, there was you know, one of those stupid, like, internet questionnaires, like, you know, like it said, like, if you, like, if you're over 24, you can't answer any of these questions. So it was like 60 phrases or whatever. I was ashamed, man. I got 53 right out of 60. I knew all this dumb shit, you know, because I'm on Twitter all the time, you know. It's crazy.
You're playing in the playground with all the kids.
What are the kids, you know?
Yeah. To be honest, like, I feel like in general, like, we, you know, we don't really talk like our ages anyways. Like, even Chris and, you know, Adam, they got kids. They didn't get any older.
Yeah.
You know, sounding as soon as they got kids. It's like, they didn't just wait as soon as they hit it. Oh, yes, I'm your father now.
Oh, yes, I will speak like a father now. Behave.
Behave, children. You know, it's not,
yeah. But it's also the fact like that in general, like, people just look younger now. Somebody posted a picture of, like, no, a video from 1989, high school students, right? They looked older than us.
I mean,
like, also, those motherfuckers were hard, man.
there's a lot of, like, stuff that happens. So it's like, obviously, you know, like, even people from, like, the 50s and stuff like that, they sort of looked a little bit older.
Yeah.
Actual people from the 50s, not the, you know, not the revival things like Grease and all that silliness. People from those times actually did look a little bit older. Like, if you look at, okay, you remember the movie The Blob?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right? Yes.
With what's his face? What's that actor's name? Shit. What's his name?
I could look it up. I know who you're talking about. The black haired dude, right?
No, white hair. Yeah, he's got like blonde hair.
Okay. Shit. Anyway, go make your point.
Well, anyway, that actor, right? He was in his 20s when he made that.
Steve McQueen.
There you go.
Yeah.
When Steve McQueen made The Blob. He came from Pennsylvania, by the way. But he made The Blob. He was young, like super young. But you look at him in that movie, and he's playing like a teenager. He looks like he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
Or more.
Bro looks middle-aged.
Yeah, he looks middle-aged. But there's also, like, there was a study on this, too. We're saying, like, how come people who are around ages of people are now, like, why do they look younger? And it also has to do with styling and what we perceive as old. Right, like there's a picture they took of the Golden Girls, and they literally put them all with modern hair, and they just looked like younger people.
Oh, really interesting.
Yeah. It's just because we think of them as old because they dress up like the time that they were in. You know,
Yeah. But I also think, and Brett, you and I talked about this, how like we've just become more domesticated. So we're going to just look younger. Like our lives are way easier now than people's lives used to be 50 years ago, you know?
I mean, you could, it's happening genetically, man. Like, yeah. You can see it. Like we technically, there, and before people think I'm fucking crazy, like there's a set of genes that basically through a lot of mammals kind of changes and shifts when domestication happens, right? And so a lot of those same things you see spread across different species when domestication happens. And like human beings are no different. Like our, those genes have shifted in us as well. And like the result is usually like, more specialized, mutations. So like you see like the genetic expression all of a sudden shift like a whole bunch. So like, In cows, for instance, right? Like some really strong cows and some really fast cows and some all the kinds of other different cows, as opposed to being trying to be like the specialized breed. But generally, they also get smaller, they get more docile, and like that's happened, like straight up. If you compare a person now, like a person 1,000 years ago living in a wooden hut, like in the middle of like some fucking Nordic forest, like they're just going to be like different, man. Like genetically, it's like when you put a, you know, pigs back in the wild, they turn into boars again.
Yeah, no, that's a great analogy. One thing that always messes me up is like when you see like a wolf, you know, like I was watching a video of a woman with like wolves and, you know, people are like, yo, are those like overgrown wolves? Like, no, that's how big they actually are in real life. You know, yeah, dogs are small, you know. Because people think like that wolves are like huskies. No. Those motherfuckers are big, bro.
Yeah, they're huskier.
Yeah, they're huskier, if you would say. Yeah, testosterone levels for men are much lower. Yeah, that is true. You know,
that's another something. Thing. Something that is also interesting is we're relatively not that far away from a time where we're surpassing our life expectancy.
Yep,
all of us. So. You know, back then humans used to live to our age and pretty much go die. And now it's like we're
middle age. You're right. Like, think about this. Like, in the Game of Thrones books, not the show, the books, right? The Song of Ice and Fire. You realize Ned Stark's like 32, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and like the kids are like fucking 11 and 12 because people didn't live that long back in the day. You know, as a matter of fact, a human's natural lifespan is supposed to be like 25, 30 years tops. You know?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind that's a bit of a myth. I hate to be the well actually guy, but like that is adjusted for super high infant mortality rates because we're basically fucking useless for like several years after we're born. Like biologically speaking, like a 4-year-old is like it can't do anything at all.
Yeah.
So humans as a species have a super high infant mortality rate. We're really bad at childbirth. So those numbers skew things. Weirdly enough, when you actually see like populations hit, you know, like 20 years old, like those populations regularly have 60 to 80 year olds, which fucking baffles me because they didn't have modern medicine. We do. So what the fuck, man? Like, and especially like in some populations, you saw people living like upwards into their hundreds, like, before the modern age.
What countries were these? That's crazy.
What's that? Like, I want to say there was a place in like the Baltic specifically that has like a disproportionately high number of 100-year-olds.
Yeah,
like,
could it be just the genetics of that specific area?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, genetically, we're not all meant to keel over at 35. Like, it's actually pretty normal to see like 60 plus life expectancy, even in like really old populations of humans, which is deceptive because we want to see like modern medicine has done a whole lot and, you know, life expectancy has got it, but it really hasn't. Like now there's just a lot more kids used to die, like a lot, like a lot.
But at the same time, like back then, those 60-year-olds looked fucking ancient, man.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time, I still remember this shit, too. When I was a little kid and shit, I saw it wasn't my grandma, but it was somebody old. She must have been, like, probably 70. She looked fucking, like, ancient as shit. Now you see a 70-year-old, you know, still look good, you know?
Yeah, no, like, that's definitely changed. I mean,
the trade-off, the problem, you know, kind of is like, think about it in modern terms too. Like, oh yeah, like they didn't have modern medicine. They just had it's mostly the ravages of disease. Like disease will fuck you up.
Oh yeah.
Like you can get real sick and like straight up just look different afterwards. Like it'll fuck your world up.
So stress does it too.
Yeah, but Blitz said it right here too. Kids age you too. That's stress, you know?
But like keep in mind, like these old populations, right? Like if you put it in modern terms, like do you know how much exercise, fresh air, and farm-to-table food they ate?
Yeah.
Like, bruh, they had no pollution, no, like, just by today's safe, like, health standards, you're like, wow, they ate, like, all organic food. They exercise daily.
Yeah, they lived healthier lives for sure, even though they were ingesting all this fucking disease and shit. They were hardier people back then, for sure, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like we suck by today's standards.
It's a wonder what modern medicine and lotion does these days. It's
you like, know.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean that
would that Bipaparu does?
Bipaparu, let's go.
That could also be that increased genetic expression on the stock because, like, so you see more genetic variants and more specialized roles. Seems to be. And this big seems to be like hypothesis time. Like it seems to be something kind of built into the genetic code that when a population reaches a certain size, it domestication equals specialization. Like, okay, so there's a bird. Now there's a whole bunch of birds all doing the same thing. Well, that means that they need to be smaller. So they fight with each other less, compete for resources less, and then start specializing more for said resources to branch out. So it makes sense biologically, right? So, and it's the same reason, like, I'm honestly convinced, like, we're seeing more geniuses born now because we have that gigantic population with those kind of genetic markers, like, you know, we're pushing variants. Like, you also see incredibly stupid, you see the other side, too. Don't get me wrong. Nature isn't really direct. It's just like, we're gonna try some shit, throw some shit at the wall, see what sticks. And you've seen the people that makes. Not necessarily great, but we also have some really good stuff. So that means that as the cream rises to the top, like we start advancing faster and faster. That's not just like scientifically, that's like, you know, we could, you know, one of the specializations that you kind of get bred for when you branch out like that is like, yeah, some of them end up prettier. And those prettier ones have more kids. Like I want to say that it's that we are exactly the same outside of external factors, but I think that honestly there's a genetic component to it.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're not we are animals. We're susceptible to the same thing, so you're gonna have specialized, especially with like conditions we have now, which are kind of more specialized. So it all makes sense to me. Anyway,
we have genetic pressure to start specializing.
Speaking of pretty,
yeah pretty, it's so pretty. Good segue. Let's talk about pretty, man. Let's talk about Spider-Man's. We got a new trailer. We got a Bundaru, you know, good
and
stuff.
And a super collector's edition.
Yeah. So Manny, tell us about that Spider-Man. So what's going on?
Apparently at the Comic-Con this year, they had a nice little setup and they revealed some stuff. So you got some more, more insight into Venom and how he connects to the storyline. You get to see Harry Osborn and they allude to a certain things. And you get to see some returning characters. So it looked all pretty good. All at night, because, you know, night always looks the best, no matter what. So it's looking cool. And what they also announced is the PlayStation 5 bundle, which comes with obviously some fancy new plates to put on the outside, which has a Spider-Man logo getting sort of sucked in by the Venom symbiote. Comes with the game and it comes with a fancy controller. All those things you can also buy separately. So if you want to make your PlayStation look special, you can get those same plates for the disc version of PlayStation and the other PlayStation 5 and the other version, the digital version, and the controller as well.
Yeah, I want that controller.
Oh yeah,
controller. Oh, yeah. I'm probably not gonna get the plates though because I don't like my consoles looking too ostentatious. You know, it's like I got my black plates. I'm good. You know, I'm happy with that. Mm-hmm. The PlayStation 5 blends into the background, which is the best way for it because it's a hideous looking console.
You it's know? In the shadows.
Or it's in the shadows. Yes, yeah, it's right there, you know. Oh, hold on real quick. Slightly off topic, Manny. Ace Ali says, it took me almost a year exactly, but I finally bought a couple of Emilio's drawn prints.
Ah, thank you. My thank you. Yes, yeah, those are all on my Twitter account. They sit on the front page as well as you can get it. And I have a couple of my few of my prints that I've had over the years that I had at Comic-Con. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and Manny, now that Spider-Man 2 is coming, it is maybe time to draw so update because you did do Spider-Man, you know, from the first game. So
yes, I did. So I might. Well, I mean, depend. It all really depends on if I get if I end up getting a New York Comic-Con
table. Yes.
Because like last year, I did not get accepted for a table.
Bastards.
They put me on the waiting list, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to kind of roll around, roll like I am going, but if not, no worries.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, next year, you know, I'll be a little bit more active when it comes to doing shows. I sort of fell off the board on this one. I was supposed to do an Anime NYC. I totally forgot about that. And, yeah, so if anything, next year will be the year, and, you know, there might be a Metal Gear Con that might be in my future, too.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you're busy doing a job that actually pays you consistently.
Yes, a very comfortable job. So.
Yeah, very comfortable job, very fulfilling job. You know,
mm-hmm.
Very good stuff. Ace Ali says, "Thank you. I use Society 6 Link, and your artwork will soon adorn my living space."
Ah, yes, yes. They have a Society. Oh, sorry to plug myself, but yeah, so, Society 6 does a really nice job. You can buy fully framed pieces of artwork there, and I tried to put. I also have a Redbubble as well, but I tried to put unique work on each of the sites. So if you end up going to my Redbubble, there's also a bunch of, you know, other stuff on there too.
Yeah, so, yeah. Good stuff. But yeah, Spider-Man, October 20th. But here's the interesting thing. Apparently this bundle comes out in September. How does that work?
Well, no, that's
what Mighty Nerd said. So is that accurate?
The bundle? No.
Yeah, Mighty Nerd, is that true that the bundle comes out in September? How does that make any sense if the game comes out in October?
I don't think it does come out in September. I mean, maybe the parts of the bundle come out in September?
The plates could probably come out.
The plates and the controller and all that
controller,
stuff
could
come out in November, but, you know, I don't know about that.
Easy. The game's digital.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, Logic One says it comes out. Okay, so... The whole bundle, like the PS5 console, comes out.
Yeah, and the game will be unlocked when the game releases. And
yeah, right. By the way, Brad, I'm asking because we've seen that happen before.
That's I'm just saying, like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't know if people are like, that doesn't make sense.
But yeah, why?
Okay, here we go. Thank you. You guys are fucking awesome in the chat. A bundle in September. Digital code included for download. The code just won't work until the game comes out.
Yep. Okay. Yep. See. So,
there you go.
So you get a PlayStation, but with no.
That has been a pattern for years, which really bugs me with collector's editions.
Okay. Yeah. But
Okay. No, the collector's edition is just the statue. The big thing is this: it's the statue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not the console. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Brad. Go on off on a rant.
Oh, I just want to say like. You literally just watched the issue happen, like right there. Like, it's not that it's an unprecedented thing. It's not that it hasn't been fucking done. It's not that it doesn't make sense and you don't think that they do it. It's just the idea is so just stupid that your brain kind of refuses to swallow it. And you're like, wait, how does it come out before the thing's released? Because a sane person would think if you release something with a game, that they come out at the same time instead of the bundle coming out sooner. No, it's just as dumb and real as everybody thinks, but I just want to point out, like, you watched it happen here on the panel where everyone's like, Tony's like, wait, hold on, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, we've seen it happen before, but it's just that dumb that you just get that reaction.
It will never not be dumb.
I mean, to be honest, it's better than some of the things that those guys are doing, like literally selling the collector's edition without the actual game. At least you're getting the game with it, right?
I just hate that we live in this world, man. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, no, you're right. But it's still kind of the same thing. It's like you're getting a special something without the disc.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's weird. That's mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah, I don't even mind that it doesn't have a disc. Like, here's my problem with it. Like, you clearly don't give a fuck about the customer experience beyond purchase. Like, that's what that screams because, like, you're going to take it home, and then what? You're going to take it out, pull it, unpack, look at it, and just continue to be excited for the game, right? Like, they,
well, yeah, you could play Spider-Man. You can play Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales while you wait.
mm-hmm. They got your money. They don't really seem to care what the fuck happens to you after that. Like, it's, and maybe I'm reading too deep into it, but like, I love it when you get home and you open something and the box, like, y'all know that the best box that you've ever seen, you've ever opened. Like, you know that you're thinking of it right now. Right, there was a product that you bought that when you opened it, it was just so beautifully fucking luxurious. Like, it felt like a thing. Like, it felt like a moment, right? Like, there was a huge difference. And I'm getting whatever fanboy moment here. Like, there's a huge difference between when I opened my PlayStation and when I opened my Xbox. It's fucking ginormous, right? Like, my PlayStation came in a flimsy box with minimal packaging. Xbox came in this, like, padded fucking chest thing that, like, opened and, like, it felt like angels sang. Like, it was just a better experience, right? And y'all may think that unboxing something is not the biggest deal in the world, but it is your first impression, your first direct action with a product. And I contend that good packaging is a sign of awareness of the customer experience, of them wanting to provide a good experience and being aware of the things that you're going to go through to get through that experience, right? Like, you ever play a game where the UI is just all fucking, you're like, did they even play this game or just make it, right? Like, it's your job doesn't stop as soon as money hits your hand. And maybe I'm just that guy because I'm a tattoo artist. Like, my job's not done when you pay me. My job's not, like, for some reason, my job fucking continues until the point where you're healing the goddamn thing. Like, you just leave with it and go to the fucking lake or whatever. Like, that's still my job, right? My job isn't just the tattoo. My job isn't the design. My job is making my customers happy, right? And I can tell when a product feels the same. And this just feels a little bit like a kick in the dick to me. Because it's just one of those, like, go ahead, buy it. You know you love it, you fucking fanboy. You'll wait. Like, it just doesn't. There's not a way to hear or, you know, make audible the sentiment of this that doesn't just come across as some sort of grating confident, we know you'll buy it. We don't care what you do beyond that. And that just bothers me.
But that's standard, though, you know?
But it doesn't mean that I have to fucking like it.
That's fair, you know, but just letting it out there that, you know, this is pretty standard stuff, you know?
No, I know, but, like, it's... This is just a good example of this. This isn't the thing being picked out. This is, yes, a problem across the board. But this is a good example, and furthermore, a very clear example of the problem, right?
Yeah. And, like, yeah, go ahead.
Like, I'm curious, like, do you guys care, like, about, like, you know, when you're being pandered to as a customer with, like, nice packaging or good UI or the thank you note and fucking The Witcher... from, like, CD Projekt Red or, like, the little things. Like, do you guys appreciate being catered to as a customer, or do you just care about the product?
I just care about the product. I don't give a shit about any of that.
Anyway, that's our people. Like, fucking chime in. I'm curious. I want to hear.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I just give me the product. I don't give a shit, you know? Manny, you're muted.
I like buying things and actually being in there. Like, in other words, you know, I don't want to just be buying a case. You know, like, yeah. doesn't that collector's edition come with a steelbook case? So it comes with an empty steelbook case.
You can put all kinds of stuff in there, Manny.
Yeah, I could put a book in it, you know, maybe my lunch. I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, that's it stinks that collector's edition goes with that. But to be honest, like, I think that's a better it's sad to say, I think that's a better situation than not getting anything at all, like they've been doing as of late, where they don't even put the game in there.
By the way, for the chat, do you guys like the do you feel that the unboxing experience is part of the overall experience. You know, just to make sure Brett's question got out there. What about you, Carlos? Do you care about the unboxing experience?
No, I can. That's beyond just the unboxing. That's the being catering to. Like the way CD Projekt Red put a thank you note and some free shit in their booklet, or like booklets have gone away. Like we've talked about, like that. Like that just counts as like pandering, right? Like it's the physical version of fan service. But like I contend it's a good thing, and unboxing is a form of pandering. But you can also do it through thank you notes, through fucking goodies, through just appreciation, through holding events or something in your game, like the caring about the customer beyond like I've got your money, the little extras, you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I got you. Yeah, my answer is still the same. I don't care. Blitz says I agree. Manny, I'm more concerned with getting a disc over what box it comes in. All right. So Carlos, do you care about that pandering? I guess after the fact.
No, I feel like the best pandering someone can do is giving a
good
great
product.
Game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I got. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's good, I don't give a fuck. You know, and as far as the box is concerned, that's gonna get thrown out anyway. You know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, like, I still keep the boxes and all that stuff. But
yeah,
again,
I stopped doing that.
I don't want to again. Like, I don't want to. The thing about it, we're talking about game preservation. You know, not in our plug on a pretty recent interview we did. You know, that's also a part of it, man. Like, you know, again, like, you know, the whole reason why we're talking about game preservation in general is the fact that there's no products being produced. You know, when these guys remove this shit from the internet, that's it. It's gone.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's why it's kind of, I know it sounds corny, but that's why to me it is kind of important that I'm actually in a real book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like with those games, I'm like, as long as I have the physical game, I'm good. I don't really need mm-hmm. the packaging around it. You know what I'm saying? It would be nice, don't get me wrong, but it's not important. By the way, Blitz wants me to read some of the comments he made before, so I will read those. Mm-hmm. Personally, the box being recyclable is bigger for me. The box goes into the garage to never see again. Personally, hold on, let me read this. I prefer all things I buy to be in easily recyclable materials. Polystyrene fucks me off. And honestly, if you are thinking about the packaging as much as the product, that's weird. All right. Polystyrene, is that styrofoam?
Yes, styrofoam.
Yeah, I don't
like
this.
Well, hold on. Like, I think maybe my message may have gotten a little bit lost here. Like, it's more than about the unboxing. Like, that can be all recyclable. Like, that shit doesn't matter. Like, It doesn't have to be a box that you keep or anything like that. Like, my point is, it's your first impression, right? And that I think that matters. Advertising and whatnot, like, companies agree with that. Like, generally, people spend a lot of money figuring out what the best way to introduce their customer to their product. Like, it is an important factor. I think that I personally like it because it shows insight into caring about the customer experience. Like, I've had great products with terrible UI, right? Like, the product works, does the thing that it's supposed to, but it's so fucking terrible to use.
Yeah.
And
like, it's not like that owner piece. Like, I thought it was cool that the way, you know, the way the Steam Deck came, for example. But that's like a fleeting thing. Like, as soon as I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, then I throw the box away.
But it's not a fleeting thing. You're forming a first impression that is probably going to be locked in and be more resistant to change than other factors following that. It's psychologically proven.
Yeah, but I'm saying for me, it's already gone. Like, I just remember, like, okay, that's cool. But if the thing had just come out in a regular box, it wouldn't really change my impression of the product in the end, you know?
Yeah, well, it's your job to review products. But, like, a lot of people, like, if something comes in really cheap packaging and your first thought is, this feels cheap, then that is an impression that's going to stick. You may throw the packaging out, but that impression of, yeah, when I first felt it, like, I just kind of got the impression that it felt cheap.
Yeah. No, I understand your standpoint. I just don't, you know, I don't care myself.
I don't care.
Yeah. All right. Anything? Go ahead, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like, the packaging thing for me is kind of irrelevant, unless it's like Apple level packaging.
That is nice packaging. I'll give them that, you know.
Bro, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
But the thing is, I just like it because it's efficient, you know.
It doesn't matter why you like it.
like the bunch of psychological reasons they've sussed out to make you like it. The impression.
No, I get it, but is, but again,
I liked when I opened it, and that is that's worth some money.
That's a lot of not more not to me. I'm not cost. I'm not going to buy something because the packaging opening experience is cool.
It's here's the thing about it, Tony.
Yeah,
it worked because you went. They do have nice packaging. It's an impression that stuck with you, so it worked.
But the money was well spent. But my impression is irrelevant, though.
It, you remembered it.
Yeah, but well, that doesn't you really mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
You thought it was impressive and quality. Like, that but brain part space of the, is literally it.
No, I get it, but I don't think that's really relevant. Like, the way I felt about it, who gives a shit, you know?
It's because it colors your impression of Apple. Because it puts Apple at the forefront of they have the nicest packaging.
I mean, to be honest, like, when it comes to premium experiences, you often find that the packaging for actual things that are very expensive end up being a lot nicer than, you know, just the shit that you buy off the shelf. It's part of the premium experience. And not only you're not only getting this device, but you're also getting a nice experience opening this.
Oh yeah, no, again, I get it. It's just it's a little fleeting thing.
Hey, man, that was way more succinct than me. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. No, man, I get it. But whether we're dragging on this point forever now.
I just look at it from the, you know, the type of, you know, because I buy a lot of collectibles and stuff like that. And usually the more cheaper collectibles, you know, it's just some, it's, you know, put in some cardboard and then they have a bunch of, you know, thing in line. You can't even see, you know, but anyway. But like usually the premium stuff, they'll have like, you know, the way the thing opens up and it does some sort of thing. Even Sony does it to an extent with their consoles. Like every single one of their consoles opens up really nicely. Like the way they sort of like at least
the PlayStation 5 doesn't. It's the only one. It's
the 4
I've ever opened that I was like.
The 4 had a nice opening experience. The 3, the 3 and the 2 and the 1 all had very, you know, very, like, especially with all the boxes, the way the 4 did came together. It was almost like
I don't even remember how that one came.
It was almost like buying like one of those like a premium tablet, right, Brett?
Yeah. Everything fit. Everything kind of like. And like loves that new console smell. Like, bro, like I get it. Like, you open shit for a living. Like, so I and there's it's mostly been standardized. But yeah, that as many said, it's that premium experience. And like, it's not important, but it's also very important. And there's a reason that they spend that money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not.
No, I get it.
It's not just like.
Yeah. No. Again, I understand. It's just I don't feel that way. But I get it. I understand, you know.
But yeah, but if you're going to be
those two things are not mutually exclusive. I could understand something and not feel it. Understand?
It's a dopamine hit. It's a dopamine hit in a way, sort of like how you watch a short or a reel or Instagram story or something like that. It's like it's something that is nice, but overall, it's not the biggest factor of
it. No, but it leads you on with that impression and like that first like. It's frustrating psychologically how you can be aware of it and it still fucking happens. Like the chips that they put at eye level, like god damn it, they know that you're going to buy those chips more, and it's frustrating that it works, but even knowing that what they're doing is locking in an impression that is going to be the lead that you go on, because here's the thing, the human brain will make an immediate first impression, and then to protect itself it'll defend that impression against further logic. So if you open something and you're like, this feels nice, it can then feel cheap as fuck, and your brain will go, no, I was right, it's nice. Like the psychological bits in it are fucking, they're fascinating and they're horrifying, and they still work even when you know it's working. But I'm also not gonna lie, it feels nice unboxing a premium product. You do get that dopamine hit peeling off those. I'm halfway convinced they put screen protectors on shit that they don't need to, just so that you peel it off. Because that shit is, it's
good. Some people love that shit, man. That's why those fucking ASMR videos exist. You know, peeling shit.
I will be. I'm sure the opening experience for that collector's edition will be very satisfying, because at least I remember the last thing we opened. What was the last statue we did a
Manny
opening for?
Are you suggesting we do an unboxing video?
I mean, I'm not gonna buy that collector's edition. So no. I mean, unless you want me to take a PlayStation out, right?
Yeah, right.
And that, you know, PlayStation, as we said before, PlayStation 5 is just a console in a box. It's not even like special.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Oh wait. So Manny, you wouldn't consider getting the Spider-Man edition of the PS5?
I mean, I'll get it. I mean, because it comes with the game. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
But the one thing about it, that'll mean my PlayStation 5 will be coming with two games. So it'll be Astro Bot's Playroom and Spider-Man. But I'll pick up that version because it comes with it. But there's
if you want to do an unboxing, maybe you know
that's
not
gonna be a shitty box. You know?
To be honest, like if it's anything like the way I think it is, it's probably just gonna be the plates in a separate box and the PlayStation and a PlayStation regular a PlayStation just in another box, and that's about it. It seems like the way Sony does their shit now, they don't even put the effort into doing it. They'll just put like a little covering on it saying it's the special edition, but it's just the original box with everything in it. At least that's what I've seen with the previous stuff. It's not like Xbox, so they actually literally legitimately changed the console that's on the inside.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Unless you guys have anything else you want to say about the Spider-Man.
I can't wait to play it. So, yay. Oh yeah. By the way, I've officially bought my first PlayStation 5 game. Want to know what it is?
No, what is it? Well, you posted Final about Fantasy. It.
It's me. Yeah. What do you think it is?
The Metal Gear Solid Collection.
Yep. That's my first official PlayStation 5 purchase.
That's funny. Nice. Good stuff, man. All right, let's move on. Talk about Xbox Game Pass Core. A new tier has been added, baby.
Are you sure it's an added core one, or are they just getting rid of all the other shit?
Yeah, let's call it like the blob. It's sucking up something, absorbing it. Xbox Live is going to be retired on September 1st, coincidentally enough, and its features will now be part of Xbox Game Pass Core. So if you're an Xbox Live subscriber, you'll instantly be migrated to this. Same price, $9.99 a month, $59.99 a year. But you get the benefit of having over 25 games you could select from, kind of like the PlayStation Collection or whatever. So that's kind of cool. You know, we've been talking about it. It's like ever since Game Pass came out, it's like, why is Live still a thing? You know, it didn't make any fucking sense. So now they're, you know, so here's what you get. Online console multiplayer, catalog of over 25 games, member deals and discounts. Basically, you know, what you get with Game Pass Live, Xbox Live, but with more games. Because you only got, four games or something a month? Three or four games? Something like that. And all the games are gold. And all the games that you bought previously, migrate over, you're good.
Okay.
But here's the interesting thing, right?
Did they add something?
There's another tier that's caused a little bit of controversy.
Oh, what'd they do, Ray?
So now there's a quote-unquote console version. Here's what it has. Hundreds of high-quality games on console, new games on day one, member deals and discounts. Do you notice what's missing from that one?
Cloud?
No online.
Oh, whoa.
No multiplayer. And Xbox Xbox is marketing that one for single player gamers.
That's a little stupid.
Yeah, so you can understand why people are like, "What the fuck?"
So let me get this straight. There's Xbox Core.
Yes.
Or Game Pass Core that does have online.
Yes.
There's Game Pass
console. Yeah.
That doesn't have online.
Yeah. Then what after about the that, PC? Here's the rest. Again, I'm looking at this, right? I don't see online for PC game, but doesn't it already have it?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah. Again, I'm looking at, like, Carlos, you look at the show notes, click on the link. Like, that's from Xbox itself. But I also don't see it for Ultimate, so it's not. No, there it is, online multiplayer. So very interesting. But PC already has it. We know that. But yeah, pretty interesting stuff. Go ahead.
Why wouldn't the first tier be the one that's just
without online? Yeah,
that's a little silly.
I don't know.
And then also, why would you, I mean, I guess you're getting, it's essentially PlayStation Plus without the online part of it, right?
Kind of, but without the cloud either.
That's a really idiotic tier.
And it's a dollar more than the other. The only thing is it just has more games available. That's about it. But like, if you can't, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
That's a silly one. To be honest, the one that should be the one without any online should be the first one. The second one should be the one with the online. But they don't want to give those guys the more shit.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Because to be honest, like, it should just be like, you know, the online, you know, okay, you're paying for the online. So, in other words, you drop the gamer, the supposed game single player one, you know, a little bit more below. And then you just have that. You just get all the, you know, get all the perks of all the games and all that other stuff, you know, kind of, you know, free games per month, right? And then that's it. Like, that's kind of a dumb system. Because as usual, Xbox bullshit, where it's like their naming conventions or their tiers don't make any fucking sense. It's like Japanese people did this stuff. Come on, guys. It's
funny, man.
You know, literally it's like, okay, bare bones is just you don't have the online, but you get all the other good shit. That's number one. Number two should be like, okay, we get online. Number three, it's like, I don't know, Game Pass, right? That comes with the Game Pass and all that other garbage, right?
Dude, they don't know who they're trying to advertise to.
I don't know.
Here's
it's like, they don't actually, I'll have to take that further. It's like they don't know who exactly they're trying to cater to.
Yes, exactly. Oh, the single player people need their own tier. No, they fucking don't.
It's like watching a person try and eat a sandwich at the whole sandwich at the same time. Like, bro, no, it's not how this works.
No, like, yeah, like number one, the, you know, like, you could just, all you could do is just you make the, or you could just get rid of that dumb gamer thing, whatever that is. Just give them the first one. They get all the games on that one, and fuck all that other shit. So, you know, people are still number one. Okay, it's like, okay, I don't want to play for the online. Online is just a part of the deal, right? To be honest, having a non-online deal is kind of dumb.
Yeah. By the way, I just confirmed it's every tier except console now has online. So console does not have online multiplayer.
So odd, man. So you can understand why that's caused some controversy in the industry.
Yeah, well, console should, if anything, console should be the cheaper of the ones. You have that one, and then you have your online, the other tiers of the other version, just to make things simpler. It doesn't make any sense. It's like you pay a little bit more money and then you get less.
Yeah.
Also, maybe this is a dumb question. Why is a completely optional, arbitrary and frankly stupid pricing plan causing controversy? Like, it's optional. It's just, don't do it.
These are gamers, dude.
Yeah, to be honest, like, yeah, it's kind of a silly thing to be, you know, talking about, but at the same time, it's like, you know, grasping at straws. Like, hey, you don't like, but to be honest,
well, you know, how the console guys got to do. They got to, you know, find something.
But it, in general,
but it is stupid.
It is a stupid system. It's about as stupid as what Sony had previously with their online, with a PlayStation Plus and what was it? Whatever their dumb online,
it's going to be temporary.
Yeah.
It's not going to last long.
No, it's not. Because nobody's going to go for it. Everybody's going to go for the first one. They're going to skip that stupid second one.
They're probably the next up. Time to predict, Carlos.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I think they're eventually going to get rid of the console tier.
No, they are going to get rid of the
console tier. And it's just going to be core PC and Ultimate.
Yep, core PC and Ultimate.
What do you think?
I don't know.
That crystal ball, you know, now, let's go.
The core tier is a gimped tier. It doesn't have the full Game Pass experience. The intrigue of Game Pass is that it's the Netflix of gaming. And it has, you know, all of these titles and all the day one titles.
So
and everything.
Do you think they're going to drop two of them? You're going to drop the console tier and
they combine tier? Them, you know?
Yeah. Combine the two.
Because I think what they did with Core is just like, oh, we need a shuffle to get everyone off of fucking Xbox Live Gold so we can put it in our presentation on our earnings presentation that Game Pass got like 10 million subscribers in one day or something like that.
Yeah, so you already know that's going to happen, you know? Look how many new subscribers we have. It's like, yeah, because you shuffled them all over from Live, bruh.
I think they'll probably address that. Like, investors don't really like to be hoodwinked and generally do a fair amount of homework. So I feel
investors are pretty dumb in generally.
Yeah, I mean, it's
remember, these are the same people that were like, remember, these are the same people that like lowered Nintendo stocks when they found out Nintendo didn't own Pokemon. It's like, maybe if you guys did your research, you would have known that already.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true.
Yeah, investors are fucking idiots. But yeah, but I guarantee you Xbox is gonna come out. We've added so many more new subscribers to Game Pass. Like, you just pulled them all over from Live. Of course you did.
Well, here's what they need to do. They need to slowly, and I don't think that they're doing this, but they need to, and maybe they could. They need to slowly just pull their services into things like Core and Game Pass, and then just charge you for the Game Pass service and kind of obliterate the whole charging for multiplayer, because they can't charge for multiplayer on PC. It's a stupid idea, and everybody, it just shows how almost predatory the monetization is. And I get that on console that it's a thing that makes the money. So what they do is they just shift to, no, you're not paying for multiplayer, you're paying for Game Pass. Multiplayer is just included on our platform. That's what they need to do. And that would be a big thing. That would be a challenge to Sony to see, like, if Sony, like, still then charges for single or multiplayer, because essentially at that point you're not really giving up anything. You've already got the subscribers, and you're keeping them for another reason. All you're doing is shuffling words around to sound like you're doing a big favor, but it would fucking work.
Yeah. So yeah, this thing is launching, when is it? So September 14th, which is interesting, because there's like Xbox Live is going to end on September 1st, and there's going to be like a 2-week gap where just the customers are just going to be out in the water, basically. It's kind of strange, you know?
Yeah. I honestly, they should just combine Core and console.
They should, yeah.
And just that'll be better for both.
Yeah, they just need to have a Core and a Game Pass. That's,
yeah.
Does it need to be more than that?
No, it doesn't. Just Core, PC, and Ultimate, and you're good to go, you know? But yeah.
I yeah.
Don't know. On my PC.
On my PC. All right, man. Moving on here. Some good news. Final Fantasy 16. Okay. Back up, because you know how Square Enix is with their game sales, right? A game could sell millions and millions of copies, and they're like, ah, this game underperformed. It's like Tomb Raider sold 5 million, underperformed. Like, what the fuck? This story seems like they finally got their census right. Final Fantasy 16 has sold 3 million copies, and Square Enix is extremely happy about that, which is a good thing. It's like 3 million is a lot, you know? And it was interesting. This is an exclusive. It's not available on anything else right now, not even on PC. So just on PlayStation 5, you know?
And I heard the PC was on temporary hold or something like that.
It's not. It's just like a timed exclusive type of thing, you know? So good. Yeah, Square. Yeah, they tweet out. So good on them. The game is fucking dope. Go play it. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. Play it. Oh.
Who wrote and Gadget had to go, oh, Tears of the Kingdom sold 10 billion. It's like, why do we have to throw that in there?
Oh, because they have to throw that.
That's stupid. Oh, Japanese.
That's their darling. Yeah.
Oh, man. But I can't hate on Engadget too much. They came up with the greatest headline of the year. Redfall, good enough for Game Pass.
Oh. Burn.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that's hateful.
Oh.
Oh, God. You guys know that reference, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, Brett, we got to talk about Diablo, man. What the fuck is going on with Diablo? So people are review bombing it after the Season 1 patch. What the fuck's going on?
I told you this shit was going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, like, trying to give the quick and dirty break.
No, you don't need to do quick and dirty, man. You know, tell us the long version. All
right, here goes. The Blizzard, man, they have, like, this really weird mix of super talented people and complete fucking morons making decisions, right? And the problem with that comes down to, yeah, a shit sandwich may have two slices of bread, but it's still a fucking shit sandwich.
Like, there are great parts to Diablo that I absolutely fucking love. The core of the game feels fun. There are aspects of it that people don't seem to know what the fuck they're doing. Like, there's tooltips that are mislabeled. You know, so, you know, they're not additive, they're multiplicative or the reverse. The math is super weird sometimes. Resistances just aren't working right. There's a bunch of stuff kind of wrong. Like, even, like, for instance, a good example, like, I was running a minion necromancer, and there are these monsters that have shields on them. They're called suppressor monsters, and you have to kind of run inside the shields to do damage. Well, even when inside the shields, half your damage would register as outside the shields, and so you'd, like, got this, like, it did, like, 20% damage. And, like, the end result was it didn't feel good, man. Going through dungeons when you ran into that shit, it felt bad. It just felt bad. It was not good. And so there were a lot of people pretty upset about it. There were a lot of people saying there's big, big changes that need to come to Diablo. And they were hoping that the team was going to kind of be listening to that. There was one patch that kind of balanced things, and, you know, one patch that nerfed things a little bit, and that was fine. Another patch that kind of buffed some people up, and that was great. But there are still core issues going around beyond even, like, tooltips being wrong or math not working the way that was supposed to, or just a simple bug in the programming. There were balance issues. Minion necromancers, one of the most requested and played classes, worked like shit, and it was not really viable through the more difficult parts of the game. That was an issue. Some things were. I don't necessarily agree with some issues, like Bone Spear on Necromancer, super powerful. One of the most powerful things in the game, because the crit damage was being calculated wrong in some fashion. Like, it was ridiculously overpowered. And some people were of the mindset of, like, well, when one thing is so much clearly better than the other things, it makes the other things not viable. I personally disagree. It's viable as long as you can play the game with it. There were other things, though, that were sort of, like, not working the way that they were supposed to be. For instance, resistances aren't really triggering correctly. And for a necromancer, well, that's a necromancer or a sorcerer, that's going to be intellect. So if your intellect isn't interacting properly with a bunch of your stuff, it can nerf your abilities. In my case, my thorns aren't growing like they should get more damage the more intelligence I have. But they do, but not as much as they should. There's a weird black box of stupid math. Like, it's just dumb math. One of the things in it, there's a lucky hit chance. Lucky hit has a chance to proc a lucky hit. Well, what is a lucky hit, you may ask? Well, a lucky hit is a chance to roll to see if you can proc an ability, like 5% to slow somebody down. So the way that works in gameplay is when you hit somebody, you may have a 10% lucky hit chance. So if you hit somebody, you have a 10% chance. And if you hit that 10% chance, then you roll something and have a 5% chance to slow them. So if you have a 5% chance, or no, a 10% chance of a 5% chance, it's like the 60% of the time it works half the time kind of deal, right? It's not good. It's fucking weird, and it just obfuscates a lot of really complicated stuff. And I think that's on purpose. You know, they don't want to see you, like, they don't want you to see exactly how everything is balanced. So you can be like, I put a point here, now I'm stronger. Boom. They want people playing around with these things. So some sort of mystery is necessary. But there are core issues with balance. I can't speak to a lot of their classes because I know that they're there, but I don't play them. So I can't super tell. Like, Whirlwind Barbarian, ridiculously powerful. Probably not as much as it should be. Or probably more than it should be, right? Like, it was fucking ridiculous. Now, Blizzard came out with the new season. And the new season ahead of time, they already kind of told us, like, it's going to be smaller than other seasons. It was being developed along with the game in season one. So we know that that's happening. But for the most part, they were saying, like, they were going to do big patches every season. And beyond that, they'll do, like, little quirks and fixes and hot fixes and things like that. But most of the balancing and things like that are going to take place from season to season. So the season one patch was a very big deal. And season one patch came in, and it just nerfed the fuck out of everybody. I mean, literally everything. This shit destroyed the base math. Did things like reduce critical damage across the board. reduced vulnerable damage across the board, because vulnerable is a thing like knocking somebody off balance, you do extra damage to them. It was a key factor in a lot of people's builds. They do blank to make the person vulnerable and then do their heavy hitting damage kind of thing. So really kind of affecting the way that the game works. They also nerfed a whole bunch of defensive items. For instance, there's something called the Aspect of the Disobedience, which was across the game recognized like, yeah, this is the best thing. Whenever you hit something, do any kind of damage, you get a little bit of a bonus, stacks up to like 50%. They literally cut that shit down to 30%. Like, they did 20 to 40% cuts across the board. And this was not received super well. Not because the normal reasons like, bro, you nerfed my class kind of thing, but there were a lot of genuine issues that seemed to be completely ignored. Quality of life things that people wanted to see. Things that made certain aspects of the class kind of broken, or certain builds just not work the way they were supposed to because the math wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. And those didn't get addressed, even in the good sense. Like, I run a build now with something called the Ring of Mendelin, where for some reason, whenever you pop out a bone prison with a certain aspect that makes it explode, that aspect makes the bone prison itself vulnerable, which then somehow makes Lucky Hit roll like a million times, which the result is every time I pop bone prison, my Lucky Hit chance pretty much guaranteed goes off, like 80% of the time. And I have a ring that when my Lucky Hit chance goes off, my minions explode. And so I have an on-demand exploding minions build. It's kind of awesome. I trap stuff in a bone prison, and they all just kind of go, you know, I'm not trapped in here with you, you're trapped in here with me, and then fucking explode in blue fire. It's pretty dope, and it works, and it's fun. And I think that they should definitely keep it that way. But it is built on the back of an almost definitely unintended interaction slash bug. There is honestly no reason for it to not be addressed or streamlined or even, I dare say, fucking fixed in the season one patch, especially when they're saying you're not really going to get another thing with any real changes till season two, which is 3 months away. So the game came out and people have been sitting on very real, very understandable criticisms, and they've been very vocal about these, both to Blizzard and with the online active community. And Blizzard, in response to everybody's very valid criticisms, went, yeah, everybody's having too much fun, you're all weaker now, you're going through the game too fast, moving through too much content. Also, power leveling, yeah, we made sure that that can't happen either. So, like, if you want, like, it used to be you came into the dungeon with a friend, they ran around, killed a bunch of stuff, you got a million experience, woo, you're now level 30, you didn't have to try. Is it great? No. Is it streamlined? No. Is it making people happy and allowing people to get to the stage of the game where they want to enjoy more content? Absolutely. Is there a reason to then go in and take the time to fix that by saying if you don't actively land a hit on a monster, you don't gain experience? Again, yeah, I understand it's an online game, but is there a problem with people power leveling other people? Is there a problem with people rushing other people to end game content to play with their friends? Blizzard thinks so. There's a very specific way they want you to interact with this. So when you come out and say, hey, there's a bunch of problems that we have with this game that you made, and their response is, yeah, people are having too much fun. People get pissed, and understandably. It's a weird thing. And then they obviously knew it was going to be an issue because they set a campfire chat for tomorrow, Friday. They almost immediately are coming out with a response to that, which, if you ask me, is a very dangerous thing. The last thing you want to do with a horde of upset customers is come out with no answers and no definitive timeline as to how you're going to fix something. You can't just come out and be like, that's the way it is. Sucks to be you. That's a terrible press conference. You shouldn't have held that shit.
Or it's like saying, hey, what, don't you have cell phones?
Yeah, exactly. It's very tone deaf. And the problem is Blizzard has really good history and they've got really bad history. And so it's kind of one of those lean towards like, look, we all know that the old Blizzard that made all the best stuff, like, they're gone. Right. So we're trying to see which Blizzard we're working with.
And we're being shown a lot of signs of incompetence, to be real honest. And in my opinion, here's the real issue. When you, like, Blizzard, that smokescreen they create between that black box of magical stats and you to make people keep guessing is a secret sauce, because it keeps content creators creating, making build videos, making lore videos, keeping people active and engaged. There's an entire part of the community. Not many people are just sitting down blankly, blindly playing Diablo. They're interacting with communities or subreddits or interactive maps that other people have done. That's the whole point. That's why seasons exist. Right now they put in these new elements. These content creators have a whole new reason to tell you about the new, you know, 10 million damage best necromancer build ever. And they're going to keep getting fed. Everybody keeps getting fed. That's the nature of this beast, right? The problem with that is, would you so blatantly give your customers the finger, those evangelicals turn on you. And now you have a bunch of content creators with platforms talking about how you just shit the bed publicly. Oh, this is a very bad look. And even worse, on the back of Path of Exile 2 being announced just recently. Remember I said that was going to be a big deal? Turns out it's going to be a fucking big deal. Because there is a competitor nipping at their heels. And somebody who has pretty much established the genre in Blizzard's absence. Blizzard thought it was going to come home and go, Daddy's home. Well, people aren't really liking the house Daddy's keeping. And they're thinking about throwing him the fuck out. And if you see, like, and here's the thing. You see this community that's now glued itself together through Diablo. There's a whole new breed of content creators that have risen to the surface and made careers for themselves off of the release of this game, right? Like, think about that for a second. There are people who make YouTube videos for some obscure fucking game you've never heard of. They decide to pivot to Warcraft or Diablo, and now they've got an audience of $6 million. They've been able to quit their job, and they are now playing video games full-time, living their dream. Now this game shits the bed. Do you think that they're going to go back to working at fucking Walmart? Hell no, they're going to pull their community to another game, and they have that pull. That's the downside. That's the other side of the other side of the fucking blade here, man. When you give this much power to content creators, they will keep you fed. They will keep people engaged. But if you do not deliver towards your audience, they will lead them somewhere else. And that's kind of where I see Blizzard right now. Like, they have now 3 months where they've shit the bed and they have to fucking sit in it. And in this time, Path of Exile 2 is just growing stronger. It's in the darkness, watching, waiting, and growing stronger. Hmm. This is not a good thing for Blizzard. And I don't even mean that in just the like, whoa, this is not great. Like, this is financially not a huge deal. They've got your money, right? There's not a stockholder going to see a bunch of loss. Like, they've got their money. The sales of the game have gone, whatever. They may see sales dip. That's an issue. But this is one of those things where, like, your reputation may kind of be on the line right now, Blizzard. And after everything, it's kind of weirdly ironic that we've come to this point. But we are at the do-or-die scenario. We are at the point where we're trying to rebound from the don't you guys have phones. Our CEO is a fucking predator and a monster. Right? Like, you're trying real hard to bounce back from that, and this is kind of supposed to be your, look, we can still make high-quality content. And it's not even, like, people have been forgiving, like, the error in math or codes or things like that, because basically, like, the game is still fun. Somebody somewhere delivered. But when you have such disdain openly towards your audience, it's putting out a real bad vibe. Bad enough that people are picking up on it. Like, everyday people, not just the people who are fucking jammed in the gamersphere and terminaling online, not people who know life Diablo, regular Joes. Regular Joes are feeling like they just got a big old fuck you because Blizzard came in and actually actively fucked up their good times. Somebody came and pissed in their Cheerios, and they are not happy about it because Blizzard is an online game and a live service game that can actively influence. Like, you're happy. You're just sitting there playing a game. You're enjoying. And then all of a sudden, it's not fun anymore.
Well, now you're mad. Whose fault is that? It's these guys. I'm going to go to Twitter and talk about it. That's bad, man. That's real bad. That's how you get reputations to stick. That's how empires kind of end up fucking crumbling, and people, big companies, are not able to pull themselves up from the ashes because you're kind of cementing that despite having an immense amount of talent, you have some real jackasses at the wheel here. So there's my fucking rant.
Do you
this
think
has been my TED talk?
Yeah. Do you think, like, because you said it's going to be 3 months until season two, like, is there a chance like they could redeem themselves, or do you think like it's over?
Here's the thing. They could come out and say, we have major rebalancing coming out in the next couple of weeks. That could help. It could also help, like, if maybe people are overreacting, maybe people get in there and find new ways to play the game, and they're like, this actually feels really, because it's about how it feels at the end of the day, right? Like, if you feel like you're murdering monsters, that's cool. You're happy. People just come up with reasons why they think it doesn't. Like, when they lowered mob density down too much, it was one of those, like, look, there's, like, a monster every 10 feet, right? I don't feel like I'm cleaving through a horde of baddies. This just doesn't feel as good. And the whole point of Diablo is that it feels good. It's a dopamine machine. If you're not enjoying the moment-to-moment, there ain't no fucking point, because that's the thing keeping you there. So they could fix it. The problem becomes, like, now they've got people agitated. Now they've got people kind of that thing that I was talking about before, where people will work against their better knowledge to try and convince themselves that their earlier impressions were justified. They just undid that, right? The wow factor, the polish that they got, the good grace that they got, where people are like, oh, this game's awesome. I'm sure they're going to fix it. You know, there's just a couple little things wrong with it. Like, they just undid that. Even if they save it, they're now in a critical space. And I'm sure Diablo will survive, but, like, a lot of people, this just took the shine right off the apple. And so you kind of lost that momentum where a lot of people are rolling into season one. A lot of people are just kind of taking a break from it. I mean, like, I'll come back. I'll let them, you know, they said it wasn't a big one. I'll let them kind of fully flesh something out, season two. So, and there's, like, even a chance, like, if they shit the bed, this is a live service game, an evergreen title they're going to support for a while. The question is, now, who comes out with the good content first? Them or Path of Exile? So when I say that this could be over, it's not like, you know, like the Blizzard Diablo Empire is just going to fucking crumble. It's one of those, you've seen a competitor come in and gobble up a ton of the space. Path of Exile was fucking huge. And the problem is, it's not a household name enough yet, enough that, like, it can compete with Diablo in that sense. But in the community, in the hardcore, in the people who know, that's the game that dominates. And if that idea, that knowledge, that, no, bro, the game you really want to be playing is Path of Exile, if that goes public, then people could just migrate to that game, and that game could definitely explode. It looks fucking amazing, and from everything that I hear, it's really, 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 really well made. So I don't know how to answer that question. Like, you may see it succeed. You more than likely are going to see, like, if Path of Exile, if the people who make that are smart, they're going to start advertising hard right now. And if they can, like, from what I understand, Path of Exile 2 isn't even a complete redoing. Like, it's not a separate game. It is an overhaul slash addition to the primary game, which means that people can easily transfer over with no issue, and which also means if you want to play Path of Exile 2, you can technically start right now. That is also a dangerous, like, fuck, man, I've been in that because, like, I'm my Steam Deck, I'm like, fuck, man, I could just start Path of Exile. That shit is free and better from what I hear. So the elements are there for a perfect storm. Will Diablo burst into flames and go, you know, say, like, no, because Microsoft's acquiring it, and Microsoft acquiring it, reorganizing it, and redirecting it is going to give it the fail-safe gimme that Diablo 5 is still going to be well received and sell millions of, like, the franchise is not ruined because somebody else is taking over. If they weren't, we might be having a different discussion. But with the acquisition happening, I think that's the thing that is saving Blizzard. Because otherwise, I think they would be in a very bad place, because at this point, their reputation is angry, out-of-touch sex predators who hate their audience. And that shit needs to change. And Microsoft coming in and
cleaning house, figuring out the talent, reorganizing. Like, I've already heard people talking about it like that way. Like, the best thing that can happen is Microsoft can come in and just fix this dumpster fire. Bobby Kotick got to go, like, yesterday through a plate glass window.
Yeah, he's trash. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Diablos. All right, let us move on here. These last two stories are kind of interesting because I specifically put one in for Chris and one for Adam, but they're not here, but we're going to go with them anyway. We're going to go with them anyway just because.
That's what you get for trying, Tony.
You know? See, Brett, you came through. I was like, Diablo, that's for Brett. You know? Oh, man. All right, so sorry to Mickey. Sorry. Uh-oh. Gotta talk about him.
Is it about an N?
Yes. Nintendo people, you already know. So Nintendo, I'm reading this from a game spot. Nintendo will keep the same account system on next console for ease of use, apparently. Company president Shuntaro Furukawa reportedly made the comments at a shareholder meeting. So this is what he said. Nintendo president Furukawa says they plan to make a smooth transition for customers from Nintendo Switch to the next generation console by using the Nintendo account. There are currently 290 million Nintendo accounts across console gaming. If Nintendo actually does this, good on you, Nintendo, because they always do this shit. Every console generation is like, all right, cut off. You got to rebuy all your shit again, you know? So if they actually do this, that'd be smart, especially since the Switch is now like the second best-selling console of all time. You know, it'd be smart if you don't alienate all those customers. So we'll see how they do it. This is Nintendo. They're gonna probably do this in the most dumb way possible. I just can't imagine what that could be, but they're trying. So it's like that cake that Bart Simpson had. It's like, you know, you try, you know, but the question is, will you throw the cake in the garbage, you know, if they don't do it right? But we'll see. Does anybody have any strong thoughts on this? I don't care because I'm done with Nintendo anyway, so I don't give a shit. But
I mean, good on them. Yeah. They're actually thinking about their customers, you know, now that they have all these
or claiming to, you know.
You know, they're actually thinking about the customer, you know. But who knows? Maybe they'll make another gate of some sort. Hey, you can, you know, kind of like what they did with the DS that one time. You remember where they essentially gated everybody, behind buying a new console in order to play certain games.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right. And the last thing here, this one I had for Adam, but you know, we could speak on it too.
We could do.
So over in the EU. Handheld consoles will be required to have replaceable batteries by 2027. That's interesting. You know, because I'm like, okay, Emma, this is just for the EU. So will they have different versions of handhelds over there?
No, they won't.
And the reason I bring this, what do you think?
It will. I think what's going to happen is the fact that they can. You remember the last time the EU made some sort of mandate like this?
What happened?
Now every single time you go on a site, you have to check, do the cookie check.
Yeah,
it's the same shit. It's going to change all over the place.
So you think future consoles are going to just have replaceable batteries all around then?
Yep, future handhelds are going to have replaceable batteries.
The reason I asked about different versions, and it's something I learned recently. I didn't know this. In Japan, cell phones are required to make a clicking noise when you take a picture. So Apple actually does different versions of their phones for Japan, you know?
Well, your phone...
Korea as well.
Yeah, Korea.
Actually, no, your phone does make a clicking noise when it does it.
No, it does it, but there is required...
You can turn it on. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, I actually learned that. It's like their phones are slightly different there because of that. By the way, for you guys who don't know, you can't turn it off. Should I explain why I think Japan... photos, I think you could guess why this is a law there. Or do I need to explain it?
They don't like photos being taken of them.
Yeah, no, it's because there's a bunch of fucking perverts taking upskirt shots.
Well, there's also that, but also in general, you know? people, if you ever looked at any sort of posts from Japan, you ever notice, like, most people, they blur out every single person that's standing in the background? Or they'll blur themselves out?
Yeah.
Because most of the people over there are extremely camera shy.
Yeah, the guys in the chat already got it before I said anything. They know why. you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, yeah, you should. The thing about it is that, you know, you should also know that somebody's taking a fucking picture of you. To be honest, that should be should be a thing everywhere.
Yeah. Right. So I guess by 2027 in the EU at least, this will be a mandate.
This is just turning an option on or off in a region.
Yeah.
This is hardware related.
Yep.
This means that we're gonna see a big change in handhelds.
Do you guys feel like they'll do this with phones as well?
Well, remember, the EU wants Apple to have USB-C, right, instead of Lightning. Mm-hmm. That's already a thing, and so I guess the question still stands.
Will that just be the EU?
Yeah, it's every I know. I
everyone.
You know how fucking annoying this shit is. Apple, why? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? This is the only everything. Every fucking electronic I have has USB-C, baby. The standard, right? But with fucking Apple, we get this shit. You know? Come on now. Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? Carlos, do you think that'll be a standard all around with Apple products? Since we're on that topic.
The removal batteries?
Yeah, the fucking. I'm changing the topic right now. The removal of Lightning cables, finally.
Yeah. I think the EU is pushing their hand. Honestly, I think the reason why Lightning is still prevalent across the iPhone is because they just invested so much on it.
Yeah,
they have so many cables they want to keep selling. So eventually they'll make the transition. I mean, the freaking iPad made the transition.
Yep, the iPad made the transition. The Air was the first one to make the transition, wasn't it? Or was it the Pro? Because the like base one just finally got regular USB-C.
Yeah, it was one of those MacBooks. I mean, mine is a 2018 MacBook, yeah. and it has a USB-C. But
the Air, thank you, Valerie.
Yeah, the freaking iPhone is the number one product, and it's by far the best selling out of everything probably combined.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that they're refusing to get with the times in terms of the connectors to charge and to be honest
in general, especially when these handheld devices and phones start to become they're more than common, right? There's very few people that don't have one. These things should be more modular.
Doesn't everyone have a phone?
Almost everybody has a phone. Except for Christopher Nolan. Apparently, he uses like burner phones. But anyway, these things should be things. Like, in other words, you should be able to replace the battery in your phone, you know, with ease, you know, instead of bringing it to a fucking Apple store like I did.
Hold on. Yeah. Wasn't there something a report like? The USB-C charging will be gimped on iPhones or something like that. It's like, yo, they're doing some slimy shit, man.
Yeah, they'll probably be like, oh, we can't get it to work. What are you talking about?
With consoles, I think it's smart to have replaceable. Can we get replaceable batteries for phones, too, while we're at it? Remember when those used to be a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, like the... especially for like, you know, like I don't like the Vita. I don't think you can take the you
have Vita to for life.
Yeah, the for Vita. Life. You can't actually replace the battery as easily as you can the old PSP.
Is it just me or does the Vita look smaller than I remember? Remember when the Vita first came out? Shit was big as fuck. But I guess we got the Steam Deck now, so that shit's massive.
This is the baby console, right?
Yeah, no? It's the same size it's always been. You know.
Yeah, it's just you just got this massive. You got we went back in time, and everybody started buying Game Gears or Atari Lynxes.
You know,
the Atari Lynx was so big, Tobey Maguire had to have a giant pocket sewed into his jacket for that commercial. You remember that where he goes into the bathroom and he plays Atari Lynx and he has this giant pocket that he pulls this console out of.
Bullshit, you know? Nobody has a pocket that big.
Maybe his fake TV mom decided, hey, you know, put that in there.
We'll see about this 2027 in the EU's. Maybe everywhere else, you know?
Because that means there's going to be a new Steam Deck then, right?
Well, there probably will be a new Steam Deck by then. Mm-hmm. You know?
And the Switch, right?
Yeah, all handheld consoles.
Yeah, I think if it's going to end up being such a big deal, I think, yeah, if it's going to be the same everywhere. They're not just going to make alternate consoles for different regions.
Yeah.
You know.
So, yep, that's pretty much that, people. We are done here. Another good show. We talked about games.
Holy shit, man. Yo, man, hell must have fucking frozen over.
Yeah, like this actually felt like an older throwdown before the fucking Microsoft bullshit started happening, you know? Yeah. So
before it dominated all of our featured images, we got all.
That's it, man. Even though it is funny having Jim Ryan there, you know?
Yeah, Jim Ryan. Whenever I put Jim Ryan, I always put his micro expressions that always look weird.
Yeah. Jim Ryan, man. Mm-hmm. And of course, getting Phil Spencer everywhere, you know.
You guys caught the last one, right? It was literally, what was it? Jim Ryan bowing to Phil Spencer.
Oh, man. Yeah, right. I still think my favorite Phil Spencer image that you put up was Vince Vaughn. It was literally Vince Vaughn.
It was just a picture of Vince Vaughn. Yeah. Because it's like they kind of look, you know, they kind of look alike. So, and Tony's always saying that they look alike.
Yeah,
so
it's like it's Vince Vaughn. You know, yeah.
Let's just make it just for one to just have some fun. We'll just call it. Just make Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the question was like, who should like star in a Microsoft versus you know FTC movie? So we just had Vince Vaughn there. I mean, that's perfect. You know,
just Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. All right, Carlos, what's going on with I Am Negan's?
Yeah, I Am Negan is the Walking Dead podcast. You know, we talk about all the Walking Dead shows, the Walking Dead proper, all the spinoffs. But right now we're talking about Dead City, which is the Maggie Negan show. And this weekend, after the show airs, you'll be able to catch I Am Negan on thecoalition.com or The Coalition on YouTube. That's The Coalition with a K. We'll be talking about the season, maybe series finale. We don't know. We don't know where the direction of the show is going to be, but it's the final episode of at least this year. So make sure to tune in where Adam Vale, Richard Bailey Jr., and myself talk about Dead City. It's called I Am Negan. Check it out wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, all them joints.
The nuke.
And the nuke.
There you go, Logicals. We got you, man. All right. Also, make sure to buy Jordan Miner's Video Game of the Year, which is a brand new book covering pretty much the entirety history of the gaming industry. I am also in this book. So if you buy this book, you're also supporting me because I'm an actual published author now. Technically, you know, so if this book gets in a New York Times bestseller, I could say I'm in a New York Times bestseller list, baby, you know, so let's do this. And also, we have a brand new Throwdown show coming to you Saturday called Throwdown Interviews, where we will be interviewing Jordan Miner for about this book. We already recorded it. Interview was fucking awesome. So we'll upload it. It'll be a YouTube exclusive as far as the video goes.
Yep.
MP3 guys, you guys already know. The MP3 guys, the listeners, they're the ones that never have to be subjected to any changes. It's hilarious. You know, mm-hmm. like when we moved over to Twitch, I know some people are like, oh, fuck that, we're done now. You know, which is strange to me. Still strange mm-hmm. to me. I'm like, just go to a different URL, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, whatever. So maybe those guys will be happy, you know?
Yeah.
Even I'm pretty sure the Twitch guys will be, oh, fuck YouTube, you know?
Also, since we're in the plugging sort of mood, yeah, don't forget to pick up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2003. It is on Amazon right now for pre-order. It's going to be coming out really soon. This is the show that I spent the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, you know, whatever, how many years, working on when I was younger. It's literally 9 seasons of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles plus a movie called Turtles Forever. A lot of nostalgia, a lot of memories coming from that. 20 years ago, can you believe it?
You posted something interesting on Twitter talking about how it's kind of strange hearing people who kind of grew up with this after the fact, talking about it while you were there on the ground and getting just hearing their version of the events. It's like it's the same event but told through different lenses.
Yep, yep, that's exactly it. And there's a lot of this, you know, but right now there are a few generations of people that grew up with that show that I worked on, and now they're all grown up adults making YouTube videos or documentaries about this sort of stuff, about the things that we experienced, you know, throughout, you know, obviously interviewing some of the people that have worked on the show, or you know, the hearsay that, you know, floats around on the internet. So it's interesting seeing all of that sort of stuff come around. But yeah, this collection is the first time in ever, so even since the show was released, it was all available on DVD. Back in the day, in the early 2000s, like that, we used to put it out on videotape. That's not how old this show was. It was like the beginning of that transition between digital, fully digital stuff. So we did DVDs and videotapes. But yeah, it was never, we began the process of trying to put all the episodes out on out on a DVD, but we got cut short because the franchise was sold over to Paramount. And if you look at my Twitter, I actually posted an old image of what our office looked like when we shipped off all of the physical artwork over to Paramount and Nickelodeon. So it's a fun stuff. But yeah, I don't know what the features on it will be, but they say there's features. But, you know, it's all cool, and it's coming out real soon, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, Ace Ali. No, Adam actually wasn't here. Not he, you know, because he said he didn't want to talk about FTC thing. That wasn't it. His kids were up, so, you know, he couldn't be on the show.
Yeah, his kids were still awake. A thing that's much more scary than the FTC. Yes.
Children
that won't go to sleep.
Oh man, because they're getting older now. They're not in school, so you know.
Ah, come on, man. Yeah. I don't remember. I remember staying up late, but I don't remember like jumping off the walls.
Well, you know, we were built different, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yo, Daddy needs to do a podcast. Shut up, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man,
this is my time.
My time, right? Yeah. No, kids don't understand that. Or clingy kids. I wasn't like, I didn't give a fuck, you know.
Yeah.
My parents were doing. I was doing my own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then again, different times, right? Different times, yep. You know. All right, people. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And as always, thank you guys for posting all that awesome stuff in the Discord. Again, this entire show, I got it all off of the Discord, all the show notes and stuff. So thank you for
good
that.
Stuff.
You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. Two separate words, Throwdown space Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. And yes, Throwdown Interviews will also be a premiere, so that'll be fun. But yeah, links to all our stuff down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Brett Murdoch. All right, people, we will see you on Sunday for the live show. And go buy Video Game of the Year. Later.